The president's possible shortlist of nominees for the Supreme Court has kept Washington buzzing for weeks. But even with it out, this summer will be proven to be a fertile one for the inside the Beltway rumor mill. Until today, the hottest story in the district was the ongoing grand jury investigation into who leaked the name of CIA operative Valerie Plame to the Washington Press Corps, made even juicier by Time magazine's Matthew Cooper's revelation that White House Deputy Chief of Staff Karl Rove was his source on the story. This one has it all: unnamed sources, White House gossip, and the he said, she didn't say drama that sent a reporter, Judith Miller, to jail. Colossal events for Washingtonians, but does anyone else really care? Are people in your area interested in the possible Karl Rove connection to the leak of CIA agents' names? Do they know all the names on the potential Supreme Court nominee list? Give us a call. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. Our email address, totn@npr.org. We've recruited a pair of editors from around the country to let us know what their readers are saying about these issues. Kevin Richard is the editorial page editor for the Idaho Statesman in Boise, and Jamie Riley is the letters editor for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. They're both join us on the phone now. Thanks for being with us, and welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you, Lynn.
Kevin Richard, let's start with you. White House advisor Karl Rove has been implicated in the leaking of a CIA agent's identity to the press. Have you heard much about this story from your readers?
Very, very little. We've only gotten a couple of letters in the hopper that we haven't even run yet about the Karl Rove story about the leak. It's just not registering with people who write letters to the editor. And we get hundreds of letters to the editor every month. I mean, you know, to put it into perspective, we've gotten two letters about Karl Rove. We ran two letters yesterday from readers who were upset because firefighters had sprayed water on folks at the 4th of July parade in downtown Boise and gotten people wet. And one writer's five-year-old daughter had her ice cream cone ruined. I mean, it's not really registering as a big story.
Why do you think not? What do you think the lack of interest is?
I don't know if it's a lack of interest so much as I don't know if it gets people to make the leap to write a letter to the editor, to take the effort and the time and to put their name out to write a letter. It seems like when we have an issue like this, or when Bush makes a speech about Iraq, or tonight when he announces his nominee for Supreme Court, we'll hear from our regular letter writers on both sides of the issue. It'll either be another excuse to criticize the president, or another opportunity to come to the side of the president and blame the liberal media for blowing things out of proportion. It just doesn't seem to get new people, new letter writers to chime in.
Jamie Riley of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, are your readers any more interested in the issue?
They're extremely interested. In the last month, I've gotten close to 100 letters about the Karl Rove affair.
And how do you explain that difference?
Not knowing too much about Boise, it's difficult to explain. I mean, in St. Louis, we're blessed with, you know, really smart people who are interested in national events. We're also extremely divided politically. We have a core of Democrat voters in the city, and then, of course, suburban and rural areas that tend more Republican. And unfortunately, on the Rove issue, we're getting just a landslide of letters asking for Rove's termination.
I wonder if there's a difference in the political leanings of your readership. Kevin Richard, how would you describe the political leanings of the readers of your paper?
Well, Boise is a fairly conservative city, and Idaho is a very conservative state. As far as how that goes into letters to the editor, we have a pretty diverse group of letter writers. We have quite a few letter writers who criticize the White House, criticize the president. It's a pretty even mix.
Jamie Riley?
Well, I think one thing to keep in mind is that the people who are most unhappy are the ones who tend to write. Mm-hmm. And 5 years into a Republican administration, the people who are more Democrat are very unhappy and they're writing. And the Karl Rove issue is something they can sink their teeth into.
And you said you have a lot of interest there in St. Louis. How is the paper covering it? Is it giving it a lot of attention?
We did play it on the front page. Earlier in the issue, it was inside the main section. And when we put it on the front page, we get questions about it. Why are you putting this on the front page? Is nothing else important that day? But we are running stories about it almost every day now.
All right, let's see if we can get some calls in. We've got Michael in St. Louis. Hi, Michael.
Hey, good afternoon.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so a coworker and I were discussing this as more of a journalistic reporting after, like, say, the Washington Post and then a Newsweek fiasco, and stating that Karl Rove is the person. Karl Rove is definitely the person. But recently, some evidence came out that maybe Karl Rove wasn't. He wrote the letter saying, hey, go ahead, name your source, you know, indicating that it may not be himself. What I'm seeing is more of accuracy in the journalism and the reporting on this rather than actually who is the guilty party. And that's what my coworker and I were discussing.
Okay, thank
you. I don't feel that all the facts have been put forth yet for people to say, oh, he needs to be fired, he needs to be indicted. You can't take action against somebody who has yet to be found guilty.
So you're following this pretty closely, it sounds like you're saying, Michael.
Correct.
Okay.
For the 10 letters we've gotten from people supporting Rove, that's exactly what they're saying, is that he's not been tried, he's not been found guilty, and no one can point to anything he did that broke the law yet.
Okay, thanks so much for your call, Michael. Let's go to John. He's in Denver, Colorado. Hi, John.
Hi, Lynn. Thanks for taking my call. My sense out here in Denver, and I've sort of friends on both sides of the aisle, my sense is that there's quite a bit of interest in the story. And I think the conversations that I keep hearing are that, look, we're fighting this war on terror, and yet here's the White House leaking classified information about CIA employees. And I think, you know, that for people, both Democrat or Republican, that's a concern. It was a concern amongst my friends, but it's also, you know, my sense of it is that that's also where the country is. There's, you know, I think ABC just had a poll out which said that 75% of the country thought that if Karl Rove had leaked classified information, he should lose his job. I think that's just a common sense judgment of ordinary citizens.
Okay, thanks for your call, John. Kevin Richard, does that reflect at all what you're hearing in Idaho?
A little bit. And as he was saying that, I thought of a lot of the letters that we've gotten about the war in Iraq, and we have gotten a lot on that issue. And a lot of the letters have focused on the weapons of mass destruction issue. And I think maybe that resonates more with readers in Boise, Idaho, and in Idaho, because we have a large military presence in Idaho. We've had hundreds of National Guard members who've been deployed in Iraq. The war in Iraq and post-war Iraq is a local issue. It is a local story here, and it affects lives and it affects families. And I think maybe that registers more with our readers and with our letter writers than the Karl Rove story.
All right, let's see if we can get one more call. Doug in South Dakota. Hi, Doug.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just calling to say that basically it's something that is not very compelling for me because I saw earlier in the week, I saw one columnist on, I believe it was Washington Week, smugly saying that this was an open and shut case against Rove. And then later, I saw Cooper himself interviewed, and he, who knows more than anyone on this, was speaking of it in more muddy terms than a lot of the other people, a lot of the talking heads made it sound.
Is that your is that the way you some of what you're hearing in St. Louis, Jamie Riley?
A little bit. The readers are suggesting that there's a lot of prejudging going on, and they do want to. Some of them are saying, "Yes, let's wait for the facts to come in before we judge what's happened."
And I think another thing too that goes along with it that really concerns me is when I hear Cooper, who is closest to the entire issue, speaking of it in muddy terms, and then when I hear another pundit, another columnist, speak of that very same issue with this an incredible sense of certainty, it basically underscores sort of a lack of trust in the entire columnist community for me.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, Doug.
Thank you.
Let's close on that note and see if both of you can respond to that comment that Doug just made, that sort of lack of trust in the columnist community and perhaps in the media itself. Kevin Richard?
I think that's always a theme, and that's always going to be a recurring theme with readers and writers.
Okay, and Jamie Riley?
Well, I mean, I think that readers need to remember the difference between columnists and news stories, and columnists are opinion writers.
Okay, thanks so much, Jamie, for being with us.
Thank you.
Jamie Riley is the letters editor for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. She joined us by phone from her home in the suburbs of St. Louis. And Kevin Richard is the editorial page editor for the Idaho Statesman. He was with us from his office in Boise, Idaho.